Hello everyone, this is TFM, the FDMDM, and today we're going to do a follow-up on my last video where I compared PLA Plus to PETG to PLA Pro, and I got some comments from people telling me that these 3D prints were awful, and they're just absolute crap, and that's because I think the thumbnail was necessarily really zoomed in. You could see all the layer lines, and there were even some little artifacts that I missed that were caught in the thumbnail. So what I did was I actually finished off these miniatures. I painted them and everything. I didn't go like super hard with the painting. These Space Marines are tabletop ready. They may not win any art contests, but you can play a game. You can roll some dice and play with some toys with your friends, and it's going to be fine. So let me show you. The bottom of their feet are unpainted, so I could tell what material is. Okay, this is the PLA Plus. All right, so here's the PLA Plus. There we go, it's gonna zoom. There we go. I used a two-stage blue wash. I did a cobalt blue. Again, I just used apple barrel paints from Walmart, and I watered them down with some dishwasher rinse aid. But I used cobalt blue for the mid-tone, the base coat. And then I used a English Navy darker blue for the wash. And then I just used some silver paint, hit up the trim and the weapons. And then I used my Black Flash oil wash for the gun. And then I just hit up the eyes with some Red Flash color shift paint to make them kind of glow red. And then here's the banner. It gives it kind of a denim look. I use the cobalt blue and navy, English navy, for denim when I'm painting like clothes. So these guys have a kind of a denim-y blue look, kind of a fabric-y look. And then along with the silver and gold kind of accents, they kind of remind me of blue jeans. Although I should have used bronze, because the bronze buttons on the blue jeans. So these guys can be like, this could be my own successor chapter to the Ultramarines, called the Gene Recoverers, to basically fight the Gene Stealers. Anyway, so this is the again, I just want to show you the quality. Like, and especially, you got to think, when you're playing a game kind of at arm's length. The question you have to ask yourself isn't, does the model look good when it's right up in your face and you can see everything? It's, does the model look good at about arm's length? Does this Space Marine look like a Space Marine if you saw it on a tabletop? Can you play a game of Warhammer 40K with this FDM printed Space Marine? Yes. Yes, you can. And you could print a 2,000 point army easily on a single spool of FDM filament. You can't get that anywhere else. Now, if you desperately hate, FDM printing, and it has to be injection molded plastic because you don't like the fragility or the cost of resin, you could always go with like a third party like Reaper Bones, and you can just proxy in everything. It may not work very well for Warhammer, but it works pretty good for fantasy. Anyway, so this is the PLA Plus once again, and it looks good. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you think this is awful, complete dog shit, but this is absolutely tabletop ready. Again, I wouldn't enter this into like an art contest or anything, but it works. All right, this is the PETG. Now remember, I accidentally ripped off the face, so I kind of had to improvise. This is kind of like a Skatari intern who's kind of interning with the Space Marines, like a little cross training. You know, maybe some Space Marines go, like, you know, the Tech Marines, they go to Mars to learn how to fix stuff. This is like Skatari cross-cultural exchange, where they send some Skatari, put them up in Space Marine armor, and they let them prance around with the Gene Recoverers. That's my deep lore. My deep lore is the Gene Recoverers are a Ultramarine successor chapter that has a bunch of Skatari interns. Kind of just as a cultural exchange so they could like learn stuff from the Space Marines. I really like the PETG. I think it actually captures some detail. You can actually see the detail in the skull on the banner, which you can't really see that with the other ones. So for the PLA Plus, there is a shape there, but it's hard to make out as a skull. And for the PLA Pro, it's even less identifiable as a skull. You can see like the general shapes, it's just the fine details
that are lost. But for the PTG, some of the fine details did come through, because PTG is a little bit softer, so it's pretty good. Anyway, this is the PETG, and then of course we have the PLA Pro, which is this Space Marine. I painted them exactly the same way. I used the two-stage blue wash with the cobalt blue and the English Navy with some silver and gold, and then an oil wash for the gun, and then some red flash for the eyes. So anyway, these are the three Space Marines. It's PLA Plus, PLA Pro, and PETG. Now, just to show what I'm talking about, I finished up my Betrayal at House on the Hill completely. All these miniatures are totally done. And also, this is something I do, especially for game pieces, is I hit up the miniatures with a layer of Mod Podge. The Mod Podge is basically watered down glue, like the white Elmer's glue. It's watered down, and you kind of slather it on your models, and it adds a layer of matte finish to your models. It protects them so that the paint doesn't come off, especially when you're handling it. Like, when you're handling a wargaming army, like Space Marines or something like that, generally, you're the only one touching these models, and because you painted them, and you're the only one touching them, you're going to be careful. You're not going to ruin them. When it comes to game pieces, like, these are game pieces for Betrayal at House on the Hill. Everyone's going to be touching these, you know, little kids and whatnot. So you want to protect them to make sure they don't get ruined and the paint doesn't rub off or anything. So that's why I like using Mod Podge. But anyway, I want to show you something. So let's take a model I really went hard in. So this is the werewolf that I went pretty hard in. You could see the details in the teeth, the claws. I did a black wash for the clothes. You could see all the details, because remember, I base coated it in dark gray and then I hit with a black wash rather than just hitting it in black. You could see like more of the detail in the black fabric. I even hit up the logo with gold, the eyes with red. Here's her little purple thing, because remember, she's actually this character who has like this purple streak of hair. So here she is in human form, and here she, well, let me make sure you can see that. Here she is in human form, here she is in werewolf form. You can see the details in the clothing, the hair, everything looks good. This is the kind of detail I put in when it comes to this. Here's my point. So those of you said, like, these models suck. Here, let me use the PLA Pro one. So these models suck, right? These are dog shit. Who would ever 3D print a Warhammer army in an FDM printer? All right, I'm going to hold these down. And we're going to see how close I have to get to the camera before you even notice the difference. So we have Werewolf and we have Space Marine. Can you tell these apart? Do these look significantly different? Are you going to be like, oh, this is dog shit? I mean, this is fine. This is, you know, injected, molded plastic. This is perfect. But this Space Marine is just absolute dog shit. No, they both look fine at this range. So let's go closer. When will the details become apparent where you'll be able to tell that, oh, wait, is that it? Can you tell now? Like, that's the point. You have to get so close to the model. You have to literally pick up the model and hold it inches from your face in order to see the details in it, in order to determine this is a shitty FDM printed model. That's kind of what I wanted to show you. I'll just show you the rest of the models. Here's spooky, scary Santa Claus. He's pretty spooky. And I did some good work, you know, with the details and whatnot. Hit it with some Mod Podge. He looks very spooky. Here's a little Coraline girl. And I even did her little... She has, like, earphones. So I did the earphones for the little Coraline girl with her little raincoat. Oh, another thing I did for the flashlights. I did something similar that I do with fire. I started with yellow, and then I went up to pure white, and then I hit it with some gold glitter paint to kind of give it that, maybe not embers, but to just make it catch the light so that it actually kind of looks like it might be producing light. Let's see. Here's the purple girl who's got the lantern again. You can probably see the fire effects a little bit better with her, because you can see the yellow, the white, and then the gold glitter for the lantern. Just gonna focus. Anyway. All right. And then we got the blue woman. And again, this is, the base coat was the same. So I started with a regular base coat, and then I dry brushed lighter blue for the shirt, and then I washed darker blue for the pants. You can see they came out completely different, even though they started with the same base coat. There's the white priest, who's technically Asian, but he's the white character. And I dry brushed on the white over the light gray, and it gives it kind of a brushed fabric look. So I think that this turned out really well. All these models turned out really well. And then here's the red guy, kind of the all-American 80s guy with his white baseball shirt with the red sleeves. You know, he's got his little Jesus haircut going on. Anyway, so these are the Betrayal House and the Hill minis. They turned out really well. And they're fine. And like once you put on, the thing about FDM printing, once you prime it, paint it, Mod Podge it, if you want to go that far, it's going to cover up a lot of the layer lines and all that stuff. It's going to smooth it out significantly, and it will look fine. It will look totally fine. Like these Space Marines look fine. You really can't even tell them apart, aside from the one that had the face mask ripped off because I accidentally ripped it off with my pliers. All right, and just to prove the point, I have an FDM printed. This is a bust of Marcus Aurelius that I 3D printed in PLA. And it looks fine. Look at the detail. I was gonna think about it. You know, you got like a nice bust of Marcus Aurelius. But this, I mean, look how big the Marcus Aurelius bust is compared to the little Space Marine. So this is why a lot of people say that FDM printing is good for terrain or vehicles, which it is, by the way. It is good for terrain or vehicles. However, when it comes to terrain, you're better off just making it out of like household objects rather than 3D printing it, because that's a lot of plastic. You're still, you know, a spool of FDM filament is still like 15, 20 bucks. A lot of people either DIY it or they make it out of like particle wood or chipboard or foam. That's probably the better way rather than 3D printing it, unless you want like the little bits that you want to like make the terrain look more authentic. But anyway, vehicles, it works great because they're bigger. Like just like the Marcus Aurelius bust, if it's bigger, you're not going to see the imperfections. They're going to be fine. Now when you get to this scale, yeah, it's going to have like some layer lines and whatever, because look at, you're dealing with something very small. But once you paint it up, it's fine. You could definitely play this at your friendly local gaming store. Now, there are going to be some players who aren't going to like that you have a 3D printed army. And it's basically, I don't know if it's like a variant of the sunk cost fallacy, but it's like, I got ripped off by Games Workshop. You need to get ripped off by Games Workshop. Like, you need to suffer with me. You need to pay your penance. You have to give Games Workshop hundreds of thousands of dollars before you can play this game, which is stupid. Games Workshop is just incredibly greedy. You just go on Amazon. You could find miniatures that are just as good as Games Workshop miniatures for $5 each, $10 each. Games Workshop charges $40 per miniature. There are big, like, their big promotional boxes cost hundreds of dollars, and they have as many miniatures as like a Mansions of Madness expansion. It's just such a ripoff, and they're just plastic, and you have to assemble them and glue them and prime them and paint them. It's not like they come pre-painted. It's a total ripoff. Just get Reaper Bones. It's so stupid anyway. But there is elitism when it comes to Warhammer, where people will look down on you if you have a 3D printed army, and that's fine. You know, you just, if you're there to enjoy yourself and have fun, you'll find somebody who will play with you. And the people who want to be elitist, they can go play with themselves. And that's all I have to say about that. So now I'm going to show you how to orient your models in your slicer. Because one of the main issues are, if you're new to miniature printing, you might be going off of resin printer tutorials, and resin printing and FDM printing are very different. So I'm going to show you how to orient your models in your slicer so that you can print them without them failing and have good results. And then that'll be it. All right, so here is basically Cura Slicer. it's been kind of rebranded by certain manufacturers, but this is Cura Slicer. It's your bog standard 3D model slicer. If you know how to use Cura, you can use any other slicer. There are better slicers, but I'm just going to show you in Cura. All right, so we have a model of the war boss of the orcs, Ghazghul Thraka. And the first thing you need to do is you need to scale the model appropriately. Now, this one comes with a base, so this is actually fairly easy because we could look up what size base Thraka needs. So we look it up on a website called blastedhorizons.blogspot.com and just look, you know, do a control F, and we can see that he stands on an 80 millimeter base. So that's all we need. We don't need anything else. So 80 millimeter, we import an 80 millimeter base. So this is just a STL of an 80 millimeter base. And we can see that's a little bit bigger. So we're going to need to scale Gaz a little bit up. So we click on Gaz's model, and over here on the left side, there's a scale button, and you can just do it by hand, but, or you can just do it by like increments of 5, but just do it by hand just to see when it starts to bleed through. Let's give it a turn it around, see if this is it. This might be it. This might have been it. Okay, I think good, it's close enough. Close enough. So now we scaled up Gaz to his appropriate size. We don't need the 80 mil. Well, we're going to need it because one of the tricks for 3D printing model. Now, Gaz is a unique case because his model base has a lot of stuff going on in it. He's standing on this hill. He's got like this tactical rock behind him. A lot of other bases that come with the model, there's nothing going on. What I recommend doing is cutting off the base. So again, Gaz is kind of a special case, but let me show you how to cut off the base. So if you see a model that has a base as part of the STL, you're going to want to cut that off, because here's why. You're going to want to print this model on its back. And the way you print the model on its back is you click it, and over here on the left side, you'll see rotate. And then you click the, you know, just click and drag this little thing until, and there's actual like indicators on these little white lines. You can indicate whatever. All right, so here's Gaz on his back, so we can 3D print him. But notice, because of the base, he's really far from the ground. You want him as close to the build plate as possible to ensure like you don't have a bunch of really long supports. That's why we want to get rid of the base. Now, to quickly get back to where we were, there's a tool called Place on Face. You can click that and then just click the bottom of the base and it will move that. So to slice off the base for most models, again, Gaz is a bad example. You're going to click the model, and down here on the left side, there's cut. And then you'll see this little kind of square with a little white outline. And this is where it's going to cut the model. And we're just going to drag this down to where the model ends and the base begins. So right here, you see the base goes circular, and then this happens, and then it goes into like the feet. Well, let's get rid of everything but the, like right there. And we're only going to keep the upper part. We're going to delete the lower part. All right. And that should slice off the base. All right, now we can still print a 80 millimeter base and glue the model back on, but this is going to allow it to actually like lay on the build plate to ensure bed adhesion. There's also this tactical rock, which I don't like, so I'm gonna get rid of that. We're gonna rotate this up so the tactical rock is parallel to the ground, something like that. And we're gonna cut off the tactical rock. Now, if you want to print the tactical rock separately, you just want to be careful. I don't want to see right here, that's little white part. That's part of the model. We don't want to lose part of the model. So let's do that. And then we will keep the upper part only. And that will get rid of the tactical rock, or at least that corner of it. You'll still have a little bit of a tactical rock there. And you can do whatever you want. If you want to build up that tactical rock with some milliput or something, you do you. But now you can see that Gaz's back is much closer to the build plate. So this is a lot better than it started out as. And the two reasons why you want to do this. Number one, when you're printing supports, they have to print up. Well, I'll just show you. If you print like this, like with the model facing up, and I'm just going to hit G-code preview to generate supports. With pre-supported minis, those go with resin printers. They're like chains. With FDM printing, you're printing from the bottom up. So you have these like tree supports. And when you generate the tree supports, you can see that they start at the bottom of the model. And they have to support all the horizontal surfaces. And you have all these branches, these little green trees. These are all supports that have to wrap all around the model to support the model. And you can see they go all around. You're going to have all these little spots where the model is being supported by one of these tree supports. Now, if we rotate the model on its back, not only is the top, because the top isn't supported, the top is supported by what's underneath it. All right, so now let's generate the supports. Let's move the model over here. Sorry, it takes a few seconds for it to like process. It's got to generate everything. The good news is you don't have to manually like create the supports yourself, which sometimes does happen with resin printing. Now you can see, this is the important part. The front of the model, the part with Gaz's face and all of his stuff, there's very little supports there because the model's facing up, which means you're going to get much better detail in the part of the model that people are going to be looking at. Now the back of the model is covered in supports, but that's the part of the model that people aren't really going to pay attention to. So this is the main reason. Number one, you're going to get maximum bed adhesion. All these surface areas are going to be clean to the print bed, so the model hopefully doesn't come off mid-print and the print fails. But then number two, the part of the model that everyone's paying attention to, the money part with all the detail, that's going to be very free of supports. It's going to have a lot of detail. And that's why you want to rotate your models on their back. And you can print the base separately to glue it back onto the base. Now let's say you want, let me take this off. Let's say you want a lot of detail for the back as well. You don't like the idea of having a bunch of Nurgle pimples all over the back of your model just for the sake of having the front of the model look clean. What you can do then is you can split the model in two. So we're going to hit cut, and we're going to just kind of put the cut in the middle of the model. So that looks good. That's kind of in the middle. And we're going to keep both the top and the bottom. All right, and we'll give that a second to work out. All right, now we have two models, and we're going to click this model here, that's the back, and we're going to click the place on face, and then we're going to click the flat surface, which is going to lay it flat on the print bed. And now if you look underneath it, it's completely smooth. Now the secret, if you're going to print something like this, you need to print it without rafts or brims or anything. You want it to be completely clean and stuck to the print bed. So when you print this, let's generate the supports to show what I'm talking about. All right, you can see that there's even fewer supports because most of the model is completely flat, requiring no supports. So you can split a model in half vertically by rotating on its side and cutting it. Then you can print it in two pieces and then glue it together. I don't recommend using super glue for this. I recommend using what's called E6000 glue. It cures a little slower, but you really want to make sure that your model is perfectly lined up. If you use super glue and you stick the pieces together and they're a little bit off, they're going to be stuck that way. But if you use E6000 glue, it takes a few hours for it to cure. It's still very sticky. It's still going to hold together, but you can stick it. You can just kind of, make sure it's exactly where it needs to be and everything's lining up exactly. And then you're not even going to see the seam. It'll look completely seamless. And then when it cures, it'll be completely solid. And then you won't have hardly any supports to worry about. Like you won't have all those Nurgle pimples all over the back of your model. It's up to you. For your centerpiece models, I recommend doing it this way, but for your smaller models, just rotate them on their back, print them, call it a day, it's fine. But for centerpiece models like Gaz over here, you might want to split them in half, print them in two pieces, glue them together with E6000 glue, then you're golden. Then you are golden, my friend. Now you also, another thing, you want to make sure when it comes to FDM printing, you want to print in the center as much as possible. Unlike a resin printer, you do not want to fill the print bed up, because a resin printer It prints one layer at a time using UV light, and it prints the entire printable area in one flash. And that's great. For FDM printing, it's basically a hot glue gun attached to a computer. So the more you fill the print bed up, the longer the print takes, because that nozzle isn't going to move any quicker. And the more stuff you have on your print bed, the more likely something is going to fail. Something is going to warp. Something's going to separate from the print bed. And once something gets loose, it could take out several other things. So you want to only print a couple things on your print bed. Like, you want to focus most of your printing in the middle, and then call it a day. Do not fill your entire print bed full of stuff. All right, now there's another tool you have, which is called layout. So you click the layout tool, and you can actually reorient your models on the print bed. So we'll separate them by 6 millimeters, we'll enable rotation, we'll click apply, and it will rotate the models on the print bed. Now let's get rid of these bases. We don't need these bases. We'll print these bases later. We'll do the layout again. All right, there we go. So here is what we'll do, and then we just generate the supports to generate the G code, and the G code is what the 3D printer uses to print the model. All right, there we go. All right, so there we go. There's our model. Now, one last note. If the models are touching, like if these are overlapping, you want to move them apart because the machine will independently lay down these layers. So if you have layers overlapping, you'll start to get layers that are higher than they're supposed to be, and that will cause the nozzle to scrape against them, which could separate the model from the print bed. So I'll just show what I'm talking about. If I move this model too close, and I'll right here, so you can see the supports. Now the model itself isn't touching, but these supports are touching and they're overlapping. So as the 3D printer is laying down these layers overlapping each other, they're going to be higher than the rest of the model. And the way the 3D printer works, it prints one horizontal, you know, kind of layer at a time. So if you have parts of your model that are higher than the rest, your nozzle is going to scrape against them and it could rip the model off the print bed and the whole print could fail. So make sure you are properly moving your models apart. And that's why you use the layout tool. If 6 millimeters isn't enough, go to 7, go to 8, whatever it takes. See, I got an error message because they're still touching. So let me make sure, let's go to 6, there we go. Now we'll generate it and it should be fine. Thinking about it, there we go. All right, and no errors, we're good. We can now export this to a flash drive, take this to our 3D printer and begin the print. One last note, use glue sticks. So those little Elmer's glue sticks, the little purple ones that kids use in school, put those on your print bed. That's going to help your layers adhere to the print bed. Even if you go ahead and heat your print bed up. I mean, I usually keep mine between 60 and 90 degrees, but also use glue sticks. And some people tell you, oh, don't use glue sticks, that'll ruin your printer. That's absolute bullshit. Those glue sticks are washable. If you get a lot of glue residue on your build plate, first of all, you should have a removable kind of a spring steel build plate thing that you can remove and set, you know, twist it to get the models off. But so you should always have it. You should never print directly onto the build plate. You should always have like a little spring steel thing that goes over your build plate. So when that gets covered in glue residue, you take that down to your sink and use dish soap and a brush and you clean the glue off because it rinses right off with water and soap. It's washable glue. So don't use any kind of crazy industrial glue that's like waterproof or something, but use like the regular glue sticks that they, you know, they sell in the back to school section. Put those on your build plate. That'll help the layers stick to the build plate so the prints don't fail. And then once they're done, you're going to need like a little spatula to kind of get the everything off the build plate and then just go wash it in the sink. It's totally fine. Anyway, that's how you FDM print. Like I said, you don't need to worry about pre-supports because you're going to be slicing it up anyway. You know, the sky's the limit. And then once you print it, you're going to glue it together, base it, prime it, paint it. If you want to put Mod Podge on it when you're all done, you can. And it's going to look completely fine. It's going to be absolutely tabletop ready for you to roll some dice and play with some toys with your friends. You're not going to win any art competitions. If you really, really look at it, you're going to see the layer lines and the flaws, and it's going to be obviously 3D printed. So if you're looking for like a centerpiece model to enter into an art competition, then you're going to need a resin printer. But if you're just looking for durable, cheap plastic toys to play with your friends, that's what an FDM printer is for. And it's not just for terrain and vehicles. You can print miniatures with an FDM printer. They're totally serviceable. They're not going to have as much detail as injection molded plastic, but fuck Games Workshop. They charge way too much for their stuff. I mean, again, get Reaper Bones if you want to get cheap fantasy proxies that are in plastic, because they only charge like $5 for a miniature, not $40. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, that's all I have to say. So hopefully you found this useful. Yeah, that's about all I have to share, honestly. So I've shown you my 3D printing tips. I've shown you the filaments you should use. PETG is easier to remove the supports because it's more stretchy and bendy. But then you can also accidentally rip the model. Again, the support and the model are made out of the same material. So if you want nice, easily removable supports, you're going to have a model that's brittle and falls apart easily. If you want tough, durable models, you're going to have a bitch of the time removing the supports. And that's why you need those little pliers to remove the supports. And they're going to leave horrible scars on the model that are going to have to be sanded away or melted away with a heat gun. It is what it is. It is what it is. But you can make these toys for you to play your games for pennies on the dollar. You do not have to give Games Workshop all your money. Don't fall into the trap. Don't, like, these aren't status symbols. They're plastic toys. Just, you know, make them, enjoy them, play games with your friends. That's all you need to do. Anyway, thank you for watching. This is TFM, the FDM DM, and hope you have a good day. See you next time.